Welcome to the Roundup with Matt and Maddie.
Ah, yes, welcome to the New Look Monday morning, where one Matt is clearly never enough. You're tuning in on SEN 1170am Sydney. Welcome on SENQ 693am Brizzy, SEN 1620am on the Gold Coast. We've got all bases covered, including wherever you're tuning in on the app. That's right, Mornings with Matt White has procreated, germinated, generated, replicated. We have spawned another Matt on a Monday. Matty Johns joins us each Monday for the Roundup. Hello, Matty.
Mr. White. How are you?
I'm good. Did you recognise the theme music there?
Was that the Don Lane show?
No.
Okay.
It was the Two Ronnies.
Oh, was it?
It was part of the Two Ronnies because we thought we're
Ronnies.
The two Matts, right? So there's a bit of delineation going. There's two Matts. I get called Matty. Yep. You're always called Matty.
Yes.
So Matt and Matty, Matt and Matt, which way do we want to go?
I'll call you Mr. White and you call me Mr. Johns. How about that?
That's very formal of you.
Those combinations, the old British combinations, geez, I love that. The Two Ronnies, Hale and Pace.
Yeah.
Don't know if you could do them now. I saw a YouTube of Hale and Pace. Slightly inappropriate.
Yeah.
But funny.
I got stuck in a bar one night with Hale and Pace at the Siebel.
Did you?
Yeah. And I had Mervyn Hughes with me.
Oh, wow.
So you reckon that didn't end poorly.
Wow.
There was green, weird drinks going on, so it didn't end at all. How was your off-season, mate? You're back in the country?
Off-season was good. I must say, when you have a decent break, it is hard to get back into it, move the chains. I was laying in bed this morning just thinking to myself, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go again. But no, it's good to be back. Look, when Hutchie said, you know, how about, you know, going to 2 days a week? I was doing it before with Vossie and Brandy. You know, yeah, okay, no worries. What day, Wednesday? Mate, Wednesday, there's not a lot to talk about on Wednesday. Monday, there's lots to talk about because as far as rugby league, the games have been played. There's been a few controversies. And then the other day I do Friday. And the reason I do Friday is everyone's in a good mood on Friday.
Mm.
Easy to do on Friday.
Yeah.
As soon as 12 o'clock hits, you know what you do.
Well, it's easy to talk about what may happen on a Friday, but now you have to talk about what did happen when we get in on a Monday.
Yeah.
And that's already been happening. The season hasn't even started.
Plenty going on, Matty. Always is.
All right. So what do you think the roundup is? Here's what I reckon. I reckon it's our take on the world of sport. Heavy focus on footy. We'll do some analysis. We'll look at the issues. We like the human side of sport as well. So we'll both dive into that. So a bit of psychology, a little bit of weirdness around it, a little bit of Mattspiration coming your way. Try and make sense of it all. Is that a fair snapshot?
That's a fair snapshot.
All right.
Fair snapshot.
Let's see how it rolls.
Entertainment. In. Matt, we're in the entertainment industry.
Exactly. 0457 736 736 is the text to 1300 01 1170. What could possibly go wrong? What's ahead on today's roundup? Well, here's the lineup for the roundup. Latrell Mitchell and Jack Whiten arrested after a wrestle gone wrong outside a Canberra nightclub. 5 years ago, Jack was partying after his 25th birthday, ended up in a blue, got arrested. On his 30th birthday, ended up in a blue, got arrested with his, in inverted commas, brothers. Brothers never fight in public. Matty?
Liam and Noel, Matthew and Andrew. myself and Andrew have had a few stinks. Ours generally happened about, and we didn't need to wait till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
No.
Ours happened well before midnight. People always used to say, nothing good happens after midnight.
Yeah.
When I was in my 20s, my philosophy was nothing good happens after 6 a.m. And then by every 4 or 5 years, we went nothing good after 5 a.m.,
yeah,
4 a.m., 3. And now when you pass your 50s, you go, nothing good happens after 9 p.m. because generally you're having that nana nap. You go to sleep. I was just away. And honestly, I said to my wife, it's pathetic. Like, we're both going to bed at 8 o'clock. You know, it's a great world out there. You're in New York City and you're snoring at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But that's when you get old, you know.
Fabulous.
I suppose.
The state of the CBA negotiations. So while you've been on the other side of the world, they're trying to get into the deep detail of what's been going on. And it's fairly heavy. So I've been pretty strong on this. And from what I'm seeing from the outside, you've been in these kind of negotiations. It's a turning point for the game. We'll cover that. The All-Stars match in New Zealand this Saturday is an interesting one. More players pulling out. Nelson Asifa-Solomon has done the old been bitten by my dog trick. So he's got a dog bite, can't play. It leads me to ask the bigger question, does it go ahead and should it go ahead and where's the state of this game? Jackson Hastings is somebody you've done a bit of work with and spoken to at length, and also his dad, his famous dad, Kevin Horry Hastings from back in the day at the Roosters. Well, Jackson's opened up about his relationship with his famous footy dad, and we'll touch on that. Chock Mundine, Matty, has admitted money goes under the table or used to go under the table in the world of rugby league.
I do not believe that. I find that very, very hard to believe.
Shock and awe. Shock and awe. But it was back in Super League days. So this is around the Brisbane time.
Of course, it would never happen now.
Spud's back too. Spud's back at the Seagulls.
Awesome.
Mark Carroll is back. So we've got some good fun to have. When we think about the world of Spudley, Harry Garside, an interesting one across the weekend. He's stepping out of the ring for a bit and stepping into the jungle for I'm a Celebrity. And you know what? Johnny Lewis isn't happy. Now, what I know about boxing in Australia is if Johnny Lewis ain't happy, then you're probably doing the wrong thing. And also this morning, we're going to touch on the Netflix effect in sport, especially off the back of Drive to Survive in Formula One, which has turned their fortunes around, especially in America. And Daniel Ricciardo is in the news in more ways than one. So there's a fair bit on the menu this morning for the roundup. So let's get it going, Matty. Latrell and Jack Whiten arrested. Front page news, the wrestle gone wrong. First question for me was, what the? Second question was, is this a big story? And the third question I'll get to in just a sec is where this sits in the state of the game with two leading players out there making front page news for all the wrong reasons when they're trying to negotiate with the game itself.
Well, two things. It's a big story because it's Latrell and Jack, guys with big profiles. Look, my information is that the event itself, the wrestle, was not a big deal. It was not serious. However, if you've got people standing by, just normal civilians, watching two blokes the size of Latrell and Jack have a wrestle, you put the hard hat on because you don't want one of them falling on top of you, you know. Like, so someone's watched it, said, here's these two guys, you know, getting into it. I'm going to call the police. Police turned up, and as we saw what happened there, they wouldn't move on. It's going to go to the courts. We'll find out more there. It's as I said before, like, the thing about it is, and I don't want to sound like one of those old fogies going, boys, what were you doing out at 3:45? Because, mate, I've been there. It took me a long time, and I'm talking a long time after retirement, to actually fully understand the thing where you say, mate, when you're there at that time of the night, there's a lot of landmines. Mm. And it's not just you. You know, you could be out at 3 a.m. in the morning, out in a pub. Mate, you might be sober. You might have had two or three drinks. You might be in a good mood. You're causing no trouble. But everyone around you is full as a gook as well. And that's what I mean. There are landmines out there, and particularly for footballers. And, you know, so those two, they are absolutely great mates. My understanding was they were in the cells, and then they let them out and they went back to Jack's place and had breakfast together. So that shows, you know, where they are. There is no problem between those two blokes doing it at that time of the morning, having a wrestle, you know. Boys, just go home and have a wrestle.
Yeah. What do you then say? I mean, these aren't young blokes. They've been around a while. Yeah. They've all seen the good headlines and the bad headlines. And like I said, you know, I still remember when the news came out that you and Joey were having a blue in the middle of Newcastle after a night on the drink. And That was one of them. I thought to myself at the time, like, seriously, could you not have picked a bigger place to do it under the biggest spotlight you could find? Yep. In your hometown, outside the Delaney pub, went down to what the cricketers. So yeah,
stumbled down to the cricketers and continued going there. That was around 15 down
you
there.
You kept going. So at some stage in the middle of that, a common mind or a common sense mind would say, you got to think to yourself, we need to stop this. But the common sense mind doesn't operate. So it's a difficult one to say to a Jack White and a Latrell Mitchell, fine, don't go out and blue out on the sidewalk or roll around because it's dumb and it's going to make headlines.
Yep.
Very difficult to say that when you're in the middle of it, you've had a skinful. So how do you try and balance that act?
Well, a bit of storytelling. I'll talk about how our blue happened. So Joey, I'm going to state the obvious, he could be a real pain in the ass. He could be fairly acerbic at training. So we're doing a training session. He was in a mood, throwing balls at guys' ankles, and yelling at them when they dropped it. And it was the last training session before the Christmas break. So that night, we were going to go to a restaurant, all the, you know, the partners, de factos, girlfriends, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, the boys afterwards said, mate, can you just make something up so that your brother doesn't come? We've had a gutful. I said, absolutely. So I went to Joe, rang Joey and said, it's off. It's been cancelled. And he said, yeah, I didn't want to go anyway. So anyway, that night he's walking down Derby Street, he said, with Delaney, and he's looked in and we're all having dinner. So we double-crossed him. Anyway, he starts He starts punching. This shows you the mentality of the bloke. He starts punching the front of the restaurant, the glass, right? And this is a nice, quiet Vietnamese restaurant, Lands there on Derby Street. I think he's still there. Very nice. And everyone's staring, and he's yelling some awful things at me. None of them true, by the way. And I'm not adopted. And so anyway, he took off. He was with all these dead shit mates, birds of a feather. Anyway, so they walk, go down to the cricketers, and I go, you know, I stumble down there. I said, no, I can't let him get away with this. My wife follows me. And I walk in. He's at the bar with all his dropkick mates. And he goes, oh, here he is. So I said, mate, if you want it, let's go outside and settle this. So what happened? I walked outside and I was a little nervous. I've never had a victory in my life. Mm. When he came out, he was stumbling all over the place. I thought he was just drunk, but Trish had hit him over the head with a handbag on the way out. So I just went left, right, left and dropped him. And just then hailed a taxi and got out of there. 2 days later, Buzz calls and goes, mate, I'm hearing a story. Buzz, it didn't happen. Mate, no, listen, mate, I don't like it when people lie to me. I know it happened. And I just kept an eye on it. And ultimately, I said, Buzz, tell me what you heard happen. He said, mate, you gave him a flogging. I said, Luke, you got me.
Got me.
It did happen. But, you know, like
and
we
for
were.
For background, Buzz, just let me give you another half an hour or so of information off the record.
So two things I learned out of that. Number one is you don't fight in public. And number two is if you're going to have a fight in public, do it with Andrew Johns because he cannot fight.
And take your missus with you. Look, put the serious spin on it, though, for us, because we are in the middle of a fairly decent blue itself between the players and the game.
Yes.
And these are two leading players in the game. Now, it's a completely separate issue, and to be honest, it shouldn't arrive at the negotiating table. Mm. But the fact of the matter is that you've got two very, very big personalities in the game at the time when the players are pushing as hard as they can for their own rights and their own terms and conditions. Yes. How does that play out?
Well, the really important thing for the players to understand is if they legitimately want to be partners of the game, then that sort of stuff's got to be in the past. You know, that's the thing about it. Peter Vlandis and Andrew, like this morning, Clint might speak to those guys, and that, you know, the players just want to be partners in the game, and Peter Vlandis would point at that and say, yeah, but what about this? You know, so yeah, there's a number of things. Look, Matty, the bottom line is, as I said before, like they were play wrestling. It wasn't serious. They weren't trying to bash the crap out of each other, and no one from the public was involved as such. But profile, time of the morning, mate, get in a taxi, go home and wrestle.
And really, I mean, in the scheme of things, if you want to aspire to a Johns v. Johns in Newcastle, for instance, yes, I mean, that's okay. That's sort of good level. But top level, Gingell v. Packer at Bondi. I mean, that's
two kittens wrestling in the street
with daggy tracksuit pants on as well. That's the kind of level that you got to go to. You don't just have a little scuffle and a wrestle. You got to take it full bore.
Yes. Look. I as I said before, it's going to go to the courts. We'll find out more there. On the surface, it's not a huge deal because it wasn't serious, but it's a big story because it's Jack and it's Latrell.
Can you see any movement in the All-Stars match on that front?
My understanding is Latrell is he's going to the All-Star game. It remains to be seen whether he play. My gut feel is he will play. I think it's really the game itself is just so important for cultural reasons, and Latrell's got to be a part of that. I think he will play. A lot of people disagree and say no, he should be stood down. He shouldn't. I think he'll play.
Whole stack of players are pulling out. As I mentioned, Nelson Asafa Solomon has been bitten by one of his horde of dogs that he's got there. I think he's got Siberian Huskies and Staffy Terriers, but I think it was the Dachshund that did the trick.
Got him.
So somehow got to his hand instead of his ankle. But
that look, dog did what a lot of defenders can't do.
Bring him down. Bring him down, exactly. But look, Josh Adokar last week said, I can't play. I'm pulling out. And you just touched on it, Matty. You just touched on it. The cultural importance of this match is for the players involved and for what it does for the game and what it does for the Indigenous representation of it on our side, the Maori side as well, is super important. So when does this get to a level of the game's becoming less important than what it stands for or vice versa?
Well, it's funny, Matt, you say that because this morning, as we speak, the NFL All-Star Game is taking place over in the States. Now, this was a feature game of the year. They always played Yeah, well, the NFL have their final, their semi-final as such, as we call it. They have a week off, then they play again to make sure the two sides are fresh and ready to go. In that week in between, they have the All-Star game. And it, as I said before, it was once a feature game because it was treated seriously. And it was an opportunity to have the best players and prove some of them that we are the best of the best. But it, year by year, it's sort of just deteriorated to the point that today they got two captains, which are Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, who are well retired, and the game is flag football.
Mm.
Right, it's become touch football. This is the problem. If we really believe this game is, if this game is so important, which it is, you cannot allow the coaches and the clubs to destroy it because they do it often. Like, remember, I used to love the World Sevens at the start of the year. What a way to start the season. But, you know, a couple of players were getting injured, so that it got destroyed. And Nines, same thing.
Yep.
We just got to be careful it doesn't happen here.
Scheduling-wise, should you do it off the back of a World Cup, expecting players that have been at a World Cup and going the distance, which is more than likely the way with those that are going to represent this Saturday? Should you look at the scheduling, especially now knowing that we've got three buys this year?
Yeah.
There's more open windows.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You have to speak to the player themselves is best probably to answer that. I don't know, like, if you don't play this time of the year, Matt, I don't know where you play it, because it's a split round, the players are looking for a bit of a breather to get over their bumps and bruises, freshen up a little bit. I think this is the time to play it. But once again, I think the importance of the fixture sort of overrides everything else. And once again, I come back to the fact that you cannot allow the clubs to destroy the fixture.
Did you catch any of the BBL? Because you would have been travelling for most of the back end.
God, there's a lot of cricket.
It's pretty hard to miss. I mean, there were 60-odd games, mate.
Every week there's a World Cup in cricket. I honestly cannot keep up with it. It's just like, so you've got the ODI World Cup, the 2020 World Cup, something other World Cup. I can't keep up with this. And there is so much cricket being played, and the Australian squad is so big that I was listening to the radio this morning and said, this guy, oh, mate, you know, Josh Hazlewood, Achilles injury, and they're looking to put this guy in. I'm sorry, I've never heard of the bloke. You know what I mean? Like, and I was watching the Alan Border documentary on Fox, which is, oh, awesome. Man, it was just incredible. But it shows you, I'm not going to say deterioration of cricket. I think, like, that just showed you in that 80s into the 90s, that golden age of Australian cricket and world cricket, those great West Indian sides, but the great characters in the Australian side.
Mm.
It's just, you know, Merv and Warnie, and yeah, right. It was just, it was so good. So I didn't catch a lot of it. I caught, you know, here and there. A lot of sixes hit. I oftentimes think with the bats these days, imagine what Bradman could have done with that bat.
Well, Bradman didn't like hitting the ball in the air at all. His whole philosophy was you can't get caught if you're hitting it along the ground. So yeah. I also wonder, I was watching a BBL match the other week when Steve Smith was teeing off, and I actually thought of that. I thought, I wonder what Bradman would think of this game watching it, because it's completely different. It goes against almost everything that he stood for technically in the game, yet he would have to appreciate the fact that technology's brought them this way and the skill level's gone with it.
There'd be certain players looking at the moment going, man, what I could have done that game, like Viv Richards.
Oh.
How good he would have been. The late David Hooks, how good Hooks he would have been. That format. And look, the thing about it is, kids these days, bloody kids these days, wrestling at the front of nightclubs and that. But kids these days, the short attention span, the immediacy. Like I remember taking my young bloke Jack. It was Australia versus West Indies test match. And he was only a young tack, and I took him down the MCG, said, this is going to be something. So we get in there, we flew all the way down, we went to the ground, we got an hour and a half early, we're sitting there, and he's having a pie, I'm having a beer, and he's going, Dad, what are you drinking? It's 9:30 in the morning.
it's that late.
It's midnight somewhere. Anyway, so we get there, and they're batting, Australian bowler comes in, the first ball, Glenn McGrath bounces, and he turns to me and says, how much longer to go?
Just six said, more beers, son.
I said, son, about 100 hours. And that's what the BBL's for. It's for the younger kids, the short attention spans, the people who want to watch the sixes and the fours. But it sort of gets to the point for people that have gone through the cricket in that 80s and 90s, sixes were something special. It was like back in the day when goal kickers would kick the ball from the sideline and people would go, wow. Where now they go, he missed it?
Yeah. Happens every day. Well, there's no doubt about it. Cricket got the BBL effect. We're going to talk this morning about the Netflix effect in sport. And Daniel Ricciardo's in the news right in the middle of that for a whole bunch of reasons, including the fact that when he was re-announced, remember he's returned to Red Bull, he wasn't announced as Daniel Ricciardo. They announced him as Daniel Ricciardo, which was bit of a problem at the time. Thankfully, Dan's got a good sense of humour. Perth Scorchers beat the Brisbane Heat, by the way, as we know, on Saturday night in BBL. We're underway for the roundup. Come and join us, 0457 736 736, or give us a call, 1300 01 1170.